It's showtime.
Conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Nice to have playback back. Yeah. It just feels like an ordinary... you get into a habit after 15 years or so. It's nice to have an intro. John Fox's voice, everyone. But I'm gonna knock the intro off and not let the drum loop play for all that long because, well, I just received... It is a momentous day. Yesterday was momentous. Today was momentous. And I have just received audio of Nancy Pelosi making her announcement, followed by the White House response to it.
Richie, I think these guys are very sick.
I do too, Grandma. I do too. Yeah. Heads are exploding around the White House like Martians listening to Slim Whitman. And I have to say, it's a beautiful thing. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where we live on the interweb tubes. If you would like to be part of the merry, madcap, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that happens when the program is live, then I highly encourage you to run on over to HeadOn.live and click on chat room, as I'm doing now. Pick yourself out a screen name and a password. I already have one. I'm Bob Kincaid in the room. And then log right in. So if you do jump in, you'll be greeted by early arrivers, Jimmy and Squeaky, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator, Sparky, who, being a third stage guild navigator, has folded space and is in the chat room both as Man Cave and as Sparky. It's not just every third stage guild navigator can do that. No. But all kidding aside, it is a momentous day. And it's also Titanic Tuesday, which means that this is going to fit together like a pair of little puzzle pieces quite nicely. But every program here begins with gratitude. And this program is no different. In this particular instance, we have our subscribers for the 24th of the month to thank, and that means saying thank you to Josh and Jim and Samson and Pamela. Pamela's out in Washington. Thank you all very kindly for being partial sponsors of the program and helping to keep the network on the air. Apart from that, though, no more fundraising because it's fundraising-free radio all the way to the end of the month. Oh, happy day. And so that means we won't be interrupting the flow of the program for anything related to funding or anything like that. It's exciting, and it's convenient, too, because we got a lot to cover this evening. Of course, we always do, but some nights more than others. And it's always a matter of sorting out the order in which one does this. Well, in this case, I think maybe the logical place to begin, because there's some, there's the UN madness today. There is the impeachment stuff. But for me, I like to see things, or I like to see if we can pull things together in a kind of a linear fashion. And to that end, I think, given the announcement that came today, I think maybe the tipping point, well, maybe it was this.
They have a right to know whether the president is using his office to line his pockets. Mr. Speaker, the people of this nation realize that if they had committed even half of the possible violation, the federal government would be swift to seek justice. We cannot delay. We must not wait. Now is the time to act. I have been patient while we tried every other path and used every other tool. We will never find the truth unless we use the power given to the House of Representatives and the House alone to begin an official investigation as dictated by the Constitution. The future of our democracy is at stake. There come a time when you have to be moved by the spirit of history to take action to protect and preserve the integrity of our nation. I truly believe, the time to begin impeachment proceedings against this president has come.
That, of course, is Representative John Lewis. That was him earlier today on the floor of the House. And that line, that is pure power. You have to be moved by the spirit of history. Indeed. And it appears that people have been. And you can know that this is a momentous occasion by virtue of the fact that the multimillionaires over in the for-profit media are having babies live on TV. Republican heads are exploding, but the talking heads are beside themselves. Steve in New York says, "You and I are not only on the same page, but in the same book regarding John Lewis. I remarked on Facebook that everyone needs to listen to John Lewis, and if a person doesn't, that person is unfit to call themselves American. His words are poetry. His words are also power. And he speaks from a place where the idea, where when John Lewis uses the word justice, you know he knows the meaning both of it and of its absence." And so, not too long after that, and not too long ago, Nancy Pelosi stepped to the podium to make history.
Inspector General, who was appointed by President Trump, determined that the complaint is both of urgent concern and credible. And its disclosure, he went on to say, relates to one of the most significant and important of the Director of National Intelligence's responsibility to the American people. On Thursday, the Inspector General testified before the House Intelligence Committee, stating that the acting Director of National Intelligence blocked him from disclosing the whistleblower complaint. This is a violation of law. The law is unequivocal. The DNI staff, it says the DNI, Director of National Intelligence, shall provide Congress the full whistleblower complaint. For more than 25 years, I've served on the Intelligence Committee as a member, as the ranking member, as part of the Gang of Four, even before I was in the leadership. I was there when we created the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. That did not exist before 2004. I was there even earlier in the 90s when we wrote the whistleblower laws and continue to write them to improve them to ensure the security of our intelligence and the safety of our whistleblowers. I know what their purpose was, and we proceeded with balance and caution as we wrote the laws. I can say with authority the Trump administration's actions undermine both our national security and our intelligence and our protections of the whistleblowers, more than both. This Thursday, the acting DNI will appear before the House Intelligence Committee. At that time, he must turn over the whistleblower's full complaint to the committee. He will have to choose whether to break the law or honor his responsibility to the Constitution. On the final day of the Constitutional Convention in 1787, when our Constitution was adopted, Americans gathered on the steps of Independence Hall to wait the news of the government our founders had crafted. They asked Benjamin Franklin, "What do we have, a republic or a monarchy?" Franklin replied, "A republic, if you can keep it. Our responsibility is to keep it. A republic endures because of the wisdom of our Constitution, enshrined in three co-equal branches of government, serving as checks and balances on each other. The actions taken to date by the President have seriously violated the Constitution, especially when the President says, Article 2 says I can do whatever I want. For the past several months, we have been investigating in our committees and litigating in the courts so the House can gather all the relevant facts and consider whether to exercise its full Article I powers, including a constitutional power of the utmost gravity, approval of articles of impeachment. And this week, the President has admitted to asking the President of Ukraine to take actions which would benefit him politically. The actions of the Trump presidency revealed the dishonorable fact of the president's betrayal of his oath of office, betrayal of our national security, and betrayal of the integrity of our elections. Therefore, today, I'm announcing the House of Representatives moving forward with an official impeachment inquiry. I'm directing our six committees to proceed with their investigations under that umbrella of impeachment inquiry. The president must be held accountable. No one is above the law. Getting back to our founders, in the darkest days of the American Revolution, Thomas Paine wrote, "The times have found us. The times found them to fight for and establish our democracy. The times have found us today, not to place ourselves in the same category of greatness as our founders, but to place us in the urgency of protecting and defending our Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic." In the words of Ben Franklin, to keep our republic. I thank our chairman, Chairman Nadler, Chairman Schiff, Chairman Nadler of Judiciary, Chairman Schiff of Intelligence, Chairman Engel of Foreign Affairs, Chairman Cummings of Oversight, and Chairman Cummings I've been in touch with constantly. He's a master of so much, but including inspectors general and whistleblowers, Congresswoman Richie Neal of the Ways and Means Committee, Congresswoman Maxine Waters of the Foreign Financial Services Committee. And I commend all of our our members, our colleagues, for their thoughtful approach to all of this, for their careful statements. God bless them, and God bless America. Thank you all.
Well, now, there's rather a lot to unpack there, isn't there? Even the order of the committee chairs that he mentioned, that she mentioned. Nadler, Schiff, Engel, Cummings. Did you notice who was last? The one whose name will stick in the craw of Nitwit Nero with the most ferocious little barbs. Auntie Maxine. She's coming for you, Chlamydia Claudius. She said she would, and now she is. That's just one of the things. Making reference to an oath to defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, by implication, she has just named Donald J. Trump to be a domestic enemy of the people of the United States because he is a domestic enemy of the Constitution itself. What else? We don't know if the Ben Franklin story actually happened or if it is merely apocryphal. There is a great deal of apocrypha surrounding those heady days of the Constitutional Convention. Much of the proceedings were written down. James Madison was a copious note taker. And we have, of course, the Federalist Papers. But that story stands out, and especially the way she told it. Because there are different ways to tell that story. I've most often heard it that the woman goes up to Dr. Franklin and says simply, "What kind of government do we have, Dr. Franklin?" And that he responds, "A republic, if you can keep it." That isn't how Nancy Pelosi told the story. Did you notice the distinction? She has the woman inquiring of Dr. Franklin. "Dr. Franklin, what kind of government do we have, a republic or a monarchy?" And he replies, "A republic, if you can keep it." To me, that makes rather obvious her comparison of Geezer Disgustus to a monarch. Hard to miss, hard to avoid. There was a lot there indeed. And so it's on. An impeachment inquiry has been joined. And it has been joined over this business in Ukraine. And as I've been saying for several days now, when you get to this point, it's unavoidable, because bribery is an enumerated ground for impeachment under the Constitution. Impeachment for treason, bribery, or high crimes and misdemeanors. As we've discussed, and particularly as Steve from New York discussed, high crimes and misdemeanors is a term of art. In legal language, that means that it has a unique meaning within its legalistic context. That it does not mean what its plain language makes it appear to mean. It doesn't mean that there are high crimes, and it is maladministration in office. And you could call the Ukraine business pretty clearly high crimes and misdemeanors, but what fascinates me is the presence of bribery in those enumerated grounds. Because we need to remember that bribery is not simply the receipt of a bribe, but the offer of one as well. And dangling aid that the Congress had already approved, aid for Ukraine, to allow them to defend themselves against Putin's stormtroopers and his invaders in the Ukrainian frontier with Russia, withholding that money over a threat is technically and actually an offer of a bribe. Some have cast it as extortionate. And I did some looking, but I could not find earlier today whether extortion existed at common law in 1787. Now, we're not going to go off into the weeds of the original intent of the founders or any of that bullshit. But the fact of the matter is, extortion is a form of bribery. Extortion is blackmail. It is the demand for a quid pro quo in exchange for the person committing the crime to do or not do something. In this case, on no less than 8 occasions in a phone call, Julius Geiser tied the receipt by Ukraine of monies appropriated by the Congress in the exercise of its constitutional duties to his to Ukraine's willingness to try to dig up dirt on Joe Biden's son Hunter. Now, bear in mind, of course, that the FBI of the United States has more than appropriate jurisdiction to go and do its own digging. But had he done that with the FBI, even Bill Barr to prosecution would have blinked. And secondarily, the fact that he directed the president of Ukraine to deal not with the FBI or the CIA, I guess, or with any, how about the Secretary of State, who is supposed to run foreign policy? For the chief executive. Nope. He directed the president of Ukraine to deal personally and confidentially with his private personal lawyer, not a government employee, his lawyer, Rudy Giuliani. That says a boatload. So there's corruption running rampant all over. But a lot of it is out in the open. Gary, our buddy Laborman, subject line, horseshit. Sorry, Bob, but the Dems still lack courage. She should have named impeachment committee members and the lead prosecutors, period. That's what you do after you've completed the inquiry. We must keep the cart behind the horse. There is more than adequate jurisdiction for each of these committees to go about their work with an eye toward determining whether they recommend impeachment. And if they recommend impeachment, then you pull the panel together, you write the bill of impeachment, you take the testimony in open and public session. And then the committee votes it out and sends it to the floor. But you can't piecemeal this thing. The one thing that the American people must see, because so many of the American people are so uninformed, and so many of the American people actually only know what the multimillionaires in the for-profit media tell them. You have got to you've got to go through every jot and tittle. You've got to dot every I, you've got to cross every T, and everything must be in perfect Swiss watch order when you get to that, well, when you get to that moment of truth. I suspect that this entire dance has been choreographed for a very, very, very long time. Because this is not, among other things, they don't want it to look even remotely like the impeachment of Bill Clinton, which was an exercise in extra-legal and ajudicial hysterics on the part of a Republican House that was bound to impeach Clinton regardless of what the evidence showed. This is not that. This is coming to it reluctantly. This is coming to it more in sorrow than in anger. And it will play better than the Republican effort did against Clinton. And let's not pretend for a moment that the Ukraine affair is all there is. Everything else is going to get folded in too, including, if it should come out in time, the real smoking gun, namely the Deutsche Bank stuff. Because remember, we're still missing a lot of evidence, including but not limited to his taxes. In the meantime, the whistleblower, whom we will refer to simply as the whistleblower, has reached out and asked to speak with the House Intelligence Committee. Representative Adam Schiff of California, chair of that committee, made that public today. We have been informed by the whistleblower's counsel that their client would like to speak to our committee and has requested guidance from the acting director of national intelligence as to how to do so. We're in touch with counsel and look forward to the whistleblower's testimony as soon as this week. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. That's moving pretty quickly. On the other hand, Steve mentioned this earlier. Oh, don't get ahead of yourself, Brother Deacon Asa. Fine, Asa says. How many hornies think we'll wake up to President Pencil Neck Geek tomorrow? Hold your horses there. Because the next thing, as Steve pointed out, the equally momentous, was the no dissent vote. There were no votes on a Senate unanimous resolution calling for Tangerine Tiberius to release the transcript of the Ukraine call. Democrats voted in favor of the resolution for obvious reasons. The reasons are a little bit murkier for the Republicans. They're hoping, and you know, they're Republicans, so they know how they would do it if it was them. So they fully expect that the transcript will be dummied up, that it will be a fake. And so the only way to actually find out is to get a recording of the phone call, kind of like what happened with Nixon. You have to hear him say it. It's a non-binding resolution. It has no legal force and effect, but the fact that Moscow Mitch let it go through. It makes it somewhat momentous. Tomorrow, the House will also vote on a resolution calling for the release of the transcript of the Ukraine call. The Senate Intelligence Committee, like its counterpart in the House, is also in the process of negotiations to take testimony from the whistleblower. It feels like things are moving faster. And it is, in its own way, head spinning. We've been subjected to, good God, we roughly calculated, let's see, 2 years and 8 months of unconstitutional madness. And if you worked up the courage, or the fortitude, I should say, to watch, the Chlamydia Claudius's address to the UN today, you know that he was dosed to the gills. They can't get him settled down. He was almost asleep. He put his own Commerce Secretary, Wilbur Ross, to sleep. And then along the way announced himself to be through coded language, the Nazi we've always known he was. What do you think, asks Darlene in Connecticut. The orangey cat anus mouth is up to, what do you think he's up to with his statement to release the Ukraine phone call transcript? Of course he'll release it tomorrow. And which call? I think he made several. What are they up to? Apparently it will be unredacted, and yes, I got the distinct impression from Pelosi that today's impeachment inquiry speech had been long in the planning stages. I don't expect it will be unredacted. Among other things, I saw a journalist's tweet earlier today. I did not bother to take to screen cap it or anything. But she pointed out the fact that the transcript, for instance, of her asking a question of Trump, in which she has the recording and can tell exactly what she asked, does not match the question she the transcript of the question she asked and his answer. They don't jibe. So I'm not at all sanguine that whatever he says is going to be released is going to be according to Hoyle, so to speak. Oh, yes, thank you, Steve in New York, pointing out the Senate vote also demanded release of the whistleblower complaint and not just the transcript. It's absolutely true. Just a second. Okay. Flavio writes in and says, it's like writing a college course syllabus. You have to explicitate, anticipate everything, or the students will find a loophole and try to pull one over on you. I learned that after the first semester of teaching. Yeah, not as easy as it looks. Not by a long shot. Yeah. Jack in Shreveport on Trump's speech notes, my 5 minutes of AM talk radio in the car today had Limbaugh praising Trump's speech and, oh, yeah, the right-wing talking point of sliming a 16-year-old girl. We'll get to that, too. There is so much at work here. And there were other speeches at the UN today, and then what Jack referred to. Oh, Steve from Georgistan letting us know he's on the mend. Just had foot surgery again. Happy healing, Brother Steve. And hopefully you'll get some relief and be back to feeling much more your usual chipper self. Gary still wants a full-on impeachment hearing. Still horseshit, he says. The Nixon and Clinton impeachment started as impeachments, I'm pretty sure, not bullshit inquiries. They're not, the Clinton impeachment was a disaster. Anybody who was actually paying attention saw that that was nothing but a political vendetta writ large. So however they ran it, however the Republicans ran the Clinton impeachment is not how you want to run this one. And if you look at the long history of Watergate, hell, that barely got out of the box. Woodward and Bernstein couldn't generate any interest in that burglary at the Watergate. But then, piece by piece, little things fell together, and then finally even the Congress began to pay attention. So I don't think this is some sort of failure by any stretch of the imagination. And I'm the one who has said that you'd better make sure that everything is in order before you act on it, because you get one chance, one and one only. Let's see here. What's that, Kyle? Kyle says, it only took 3 instances of orange asshole committing treason in broad daylight for the entire world to see, for the Democratic leadership to finally start an informal impeachment of this Nazi son of a bitch. About time, but this, seriously, this is unavoidable, but it is nice to see them showing some balls. I think they've had them all along. Again, you don't just run out and do this. You have to have evidence that you can bring to a level of proof that will convince the American people. You've got north of 155 members of the Democratic majority in the House who support impeachment, but you do not have the American people yet. It's still, last I checked, the in favor of impeachment is still below the halfway mark. And this is, to say the very least, a moment fraught with dynamic tension and, some might even say, peril. David in South Carolina, Stan agreeing, says, yeah, you get one chance, one silver bullet. I was trying to not use the gun reference. But the oldest saying in the world is I'm uncomfortable saying this. I'm not advocating for any violence. But the ancient maxim is that if you are going to shoot the king, you dare not miss. Because all manner of hell arises from that. I'm not nearly as interested in speed with this as I am accuracy and effectiveness. Because the stakes are that high. Now, as to Mike Pencilneck Geek, well now, would it be worth it to us to see this thing very carefully orchestrated and demonstrated and put to the American people? Well, consider the fact that Vice President Mike Pencilneck Geek is up to his pencil neck in this same Ukraine affair. Over at Talking Points Memo, Josh Marshall published today the following. The key thing about this latest and most egregious Trump scandal is that his senior team was clearly in on it, aware of it, participated in it. One key person here is Vice President Mike Pence. And it even goes back to a press conference that Pence held with President Duda of Poland. As an aside, one wonders if they refer to him as the Duda, and does he own a Westerly sweater. So in that press conference with President Duda, he talks about talking to President Zelensky in Ukraine and says this is a quote, discussed America's support for Ukraine and the upcoming decision the president will make on the latest tranche of financial support in great detail. But as President Trump had me make clear, we have great concerns about issues of corruption, which they've never had before, by the way. He was in on it on the front end, and that fine, good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual Christian Mike Pence is in on the cover-up, too. That's what the great concerns about issues of corruption line is for. He even went so far as to announce that in speaking with Ukrainian President Zelensky, he said, I would carry back to President Trump the progress that he and his administration in Ukraine are making on dealing with corruption in their country. In other words, he was pushing the tit-for-tat, the quid pro quo as well. Now let's take a moment and just sort of dissect the base level thing that undergirds all of this. And that is Hunter Biden's position on the board of directors of Burisma Gas, the natural gas company in Ukraine. Because, see, Russia is not the only country in Europe that is trying to frack its way to prosperity. There was a big move to frack the fuck out of Ukraine, too. And as someone who values clean water and clean air and a planet that will support the human species, we don't need more fracking, we need less. But because capitalism, act in haste, repent in leisure. And so, well, to the tune of about $50,000 a month, Hunter Biden took a seat on the board of Burisma. Burisma is under investigation for corruption. That's undeniable. But none of Hunter Biden's actions have been in any wise associated with any corrupt acts or practices. That having been said, I'm going to say something here that is probably anathema on most liberal or progressive platforms. I'm going to say that when your daddy is the Vice President of the United States, even though you are a full-grown adult and you take a board position with a Ukrainian gas company, it creates what in other contexts, and particularly the one I'm familiar with is the judicial context, it creates at least a scintilla of an appearance of impropriety. It does not per se mean impropriety, but it is the kind of situation that people, cynical people, can use to advance their own political agendas. In other words, it creates the kind of situation that can lead to the kind of situation that we're in now, where a malfeasant presidency can use it to commit impeachable offenses. You know, in the judiciary, all judges are supposed to avoid the appearance of impropriety. You can say you can call it the Caesar's wife standard. Caesar's wife must be above reproach. It's not that judges are supposed to avoid doing improper things. I mean, that goes without saying. But they're not even supposed to look like anything they're doing might be improper. Thus, the appearance of impropriety. But that standard does not apply to the adult sons of vice presidents. It certainly doesn't apply to prospective board members, whether it be of Burisma Gas in Ukraine or Amalgamated Widget in Keokuk. And so all of the hooting and hollering by the Trump regime is precisely that. It's just hooting and hollering. So we probably should be. I mean, there's no there. And the way that Marcus Aurelius talks about it shows that he doesn't really understand what happened or how ethics work, because he's accusing Hunter Biden of something that he himself has flaunted in his own right. My God, sweet Jesus, the emoluments violations. They go for days. The shakedown of the Air Force to make them stay at Turnberry. I mean, talking about wanting his bedbug-ridden, filthy little golf course at Doral to to host the next G7 summit next year. And that's before we get to, oh, being an unindicted co-conspirator in the Stormy Daniels payoff and the other porn star payoff. I mean, there's a lot of work to be done. And the way that Flavio describes it is to say you get one bite at the apple. Jack in Shreveport says, Senate vote. Why the quick unanimous Senate vote and Mitch's cooperation? He wants to keep the Senate and is letting other things go. The Republicans always change their branding coming into elections, like when they all said they would support the ACA pre-existing conditions stuff in public while fighting it privately the whole way. That's just a quick speculation guess as to maybe why the Mitch did that. Well, the other reason the Mitch did that is, like I said last night, the Moscow Mitch business has cut him deeper than most people realize, because it hits mighty close to home, because, well, chinless Mitch McConnell would sell out the bones of his sainted granny if he thought there was something in it for Mitch McConnell. And given the choice between having the presidency and him maintaining control of the Senate, Mitch McConnell wants to maintain control of the Senate. And there is a point somewhere, it has probably not been identified or measured or in any wise quantified by science, but there is a point where Mitch McConnell will, with real joie de vivre, chuck Donald Trump right under a bus. Leave him flapping in the wind like laundry on a line in eastern Kentucky. Yep. As 50K a month, asks James in Illinois. Yeah, that's a kickback. And an honest, hardworking guy like the Don could get all worked up, you know, on my behalf. I don't know if it's a kickback or not. That could just be your typical gas company walking around money. What's it pay to sit on the board at ExxonMobil? What's it pay to sit on the board at Royal Dutch Shell? And I'm pretty sure everybody sitting on those boards aren't exactly oil drilling geologists themselves or engineers. They're just money-grubbing capitalists. Because I remember way back when Hunter Biden went on that board. And I think we even talked about it at that time, much in the same vein as I did a few moments ago. Namely, the fact that Ukraine thinks that fracking will bring them economic prosperity without realizing that it comes at the cost of their ability to live in that ancient land. And that in itself, see, without talking about corruption or anything, that in itself is a reason to wonder about Joe Biden. Not that he's some sort of corrupt, no. But the fact that he probably, in his septuagenarian brain, still thinks that fracking, to use a term from his youth, is the bee's knees, or that it's neato, daddy-o, cool, hip. James in Illinois says, Biden got it, and I didn't. I'm just as qualified. Yeah, so am I. But really, you're not, because, James, you and I are not people whose lives are completely taken up with, how did Greta Thunberg describe it? The money and fantasies of unlimited growth. Fairy tales of unlimited growth. Yeah, okay. Brother Deacon Asa says, we talked about Hunter Biden all the way back to when Mr. Stress used to call in. We talked about it with Mr. Stress even. I thought we had. Okay, so we are coming up on the top of the hour, and there's a, like I said, I want everybody, this is a moment, this is a historic day. Oh, okay, yeah, adding in there, not only does Joe Biden think fracking is neato, swell, cool, and the bee's knees, he also thinks fracking is the cat's pajamas, daddy-o. Good one, cat's pajamas. So what do you say we do a front porch this Tuesday evening? If you will refresh your, if you'll refresh the head-on.live page, you will see that Brother Deacon Asa has put up a link to the Skype chat, as it were, a breadcrumb trail to the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves. Thanks for letting me know, Sparky. And thanks, Brother Deacon Asa, for taking care of that. And so if you refresh headon.live, you'll see the new Skype link, and I highly encourage you to jump into the conversation. And maybe in the course of this conversation, we'll get into some of the other stuff that the day begs to have discussed. And there we go. I was waiting for the connection from the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable group. Let's go over and check in with Sparky. I had some Skype troubles last night. I want to see if I've still got them. Are you there, Sparky?
Yeah.
Okay. Doesn't sound too bad.
Well, I'm running off the laptop again. I'm doing an experiment today with some stuff here. Seeing as how I've got a second laptop that I can use that has Windows 7, I just got it up to... I own 5 computers now.
You're computer poor. You've got an. Well, it sounds like the Horn Studio. I mean, 1, 2, 3.
Well,
four.
It could be in the man cave. I don't know. I wouldn't know how to set it up.
It's not the setting up so much as the putting up with. I only sorted out the sound card issue. About an hour before Dr. Bill today, and that one has been driving me batshit. I deleted all the drivers for the one sound card, and yet it shows that it's still there, but suddenly, miraculously, I got sound back. And I honestly have no idea why.
Yeah, why? That's one of them, caught the gremlin and didn't know how you caught him.
Yeah, and can't even see it, but I know there's a gremlin in there. And I know that it's restrained because I'm able to play audio through the production machine again. Go figure. Well, it looks like folks were up for a front porch, from what I can see. Steve in New York, I mean, you being the legal eagle here, you want to take a run at some of this?
Did he answer?
It shows.
Yeah. He's muted.
Yeah. Tracy, are you there?
I can barely hear you, Bob.
I'm here. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. We'll go Steve, then Tracy. I don't know why you can barely hear me, Tracy.
What the hell happened?
It's not just her, Bob. I'm having a hard time hearing you too, brother.
Okay, hold on. Let's see.
Yeah, everybody's coming in louder than you, Bob.
All right, is that better?
That's better.
Okay.
Worlds.
Okay.
That's much better.
All right. Sometimes I know how to drive this thing. Okay, good. So I'm audible now?
Yes, you are.
Yes, sir.
Okay. What is this mean?
Well, I'm not having any luck with Labor Man. Labor Man still thinks that this is a half-ass effort, that they're not doing a good enough job, and I mean I've tried to explain it as best I can. They can't just you can't just run out to the floor and holler, "Who wants to impeach him?" and everybody raise their hands and he's impeached. I mean, I guess you could do that, but it wouldn't be effective, because when this thing if this thing happens and it goes
slowly.
If this thing happens and it goes over to the Senate, it's got to go over to the Senate in as near to perfect form as we can have it. And going off half-cocked is not going to get that job done. But Steve in New York, jump in, brother. Now that we got you all hooked up.
Yeah. I tend to agree a little bit with Laborman about this.
Well, that's why we're having this conversation.
And I had kind of soured on Pelosi, because I think she stood in the way, and I think the only reason she went to this point was because she had no choice. Yeah, she had no choice. This was one of those things where it was so blatant right there out in the open that there's nothing she could do.
Hey, who's got the windy mic?
Probably me.
Oh, is that you, Steve?
Hold on. Better?
Yes, dramatically.
Sorry, okay. I didn't mute my mic. I was checking out what John's doing.
Oh, okay. So her recitation of being fully versed in setting up the DNI and setting up the setting up the IG for it, her 25 years in the House, I'm trying to figure out how to put it.
Didn't move me, no.
Didn't work for you?
No.
Okay, well that's okay then if you're kind of over there on Laborman's side of things, what would it look like to you? And I mean, I know you've worked on the Hill, so you bring some cachet with your opinion.
Yeah. Here is what I think. I don't think. I mean, this is and my issue is less what it quote unquote looks like than the time. I think this looks fine, but the problem is I think it took too long. And I think there was plenty other than this to do it. I don't know what else it would look like, but I kind of soured on her doing. I think there was plenty other than this that she could have done and should have done.
But if that's the case, Steve, then there's still a lot more to come. I mean, that we could arguably be waiting for. You know, the finality, the judicial finality of the subpoenas, the contemptuous behavior, the refusal to follow the law, none of those things have reached judicial finality that would provide grounds to impeach. So while they could have moved earlier, that sword cuts both ways, and they could have moved later. And that, you know, this Ukraine business, they could not have moved earlier on because it only came out into the open in the last couple or 3 weeks. The phone call was July 25th. It took the month of August. I wouldn't want to be the whistleblower. I mean, if the whistleblower, and that's the other thing. This may blow up in their faces because the whistleblower is a Trump appointee. And there is a tendency, or there's always the danger that once a maggot, always a maggot. And the whole thing may be designed to get the Democrats to jump the gun, and then they wind up with egg all over their face, to mix metaphors.
But you know what, though? I'm going to tell you. I think I'm getting close to the point of this. Impeachment had to happen, because if it didn't, it would have depressed the turnout in the election next year. Because ultimately what would have happened is people would have said, first of all, a lot of Democrats who came out, for instance, in 2018 would have said, and who might not have, would have said, why did we do this? That nothing changed. And to the extent that there were any independents or people who might not have voted Democratic who did, definitely would not have voted Democratic in 2020 or stayed home. What I think that tells us is this election is not going to be an election of convincing. I frankly think that the days of, you know, the conventional wisdom is that, you know, you run in the primary to the left or the right, depending on the party, and then you run to the middle and the general. I don't think, you know, as much as party identification may have gone down, I don't think that there is much of a middle anymore. And elections are not about convincing people in as much as they're about turning you got to energize your voters. And the fact is that GOP voters are always energized for some reason. That core will always vote.
Whereas our side has to be cajoled and convinced, and gosh, we've got to be excited.
You might not like it, and I think it's stupid, but that's the fact.
Yeah, I don't like it. I think it says horrible things about us. That we do not take political power as seriously as they do. It's like that quote from Van Jones that I heard 2009, where he said, "Democrats talk collectively and act individually, but Republicans talk individuality and act collectively." And it's the damn truth.
There's also, I'm sorry to chime in, but there's also the distinction that the Republicans, as mad as they are, crazy mad, they, in their own minds, they determine what's at stake, and it's an ongoing awareness. With the Democrats, every 2 or 4 years, we have to remind ourselves of what's at stake so that they're always locked and loaded, to use a bad expression. We, on the other hand, get a little bit laid back about things, and then we get riled up and active. Is that part of the equation?
I think it is, but I think it goes even further, or it's more pernicious. Why in God's name is simply having political power not enough? I mean, if you really, really care about millions of people who don't have health insurance, why is it not enough to have to simply want political power? Why do we have to have a president that we can equate to a goddamn celebrity?
Well, yeah, there is that. But Steve, in New York, there is, bear in mind that Trump shouldn't be getting his panties in a bunch, because really, the impeachment process, when you look at it, is nothing more than a form of an audit. Now, he's used to audits. He apparently can't release his tax information because there seems an endless audit that's been going on since the IRS was founded.
His panties aren't.
Oh, his panties are always in a bunch about something, Duncan. I mean, you know, and if this audit doesn't work out for some reason, and I hope they have all the ducks in a row, the Democrats, we have a big, big audit coming up in 2020, in November, where the people will run the numbers and the stats and the info and the data, and hopefully will show this ass at the door. I mean, I'm not real sold that impeachment at this point is the best thing. But then again, it might be one of the steps in the overall process. So I'll roll with it, you know, just as a good American.
I think it was necessary, absolutely necessary, for a number of reasons. One, as I said, about the issue with turnout. Two, and this is probably the bigger issue. Well, two is, if they didn't impeach now, then at that point we just honestly tear the Constitution up because it doesn't mean anything. And then the third issue is we needed to make a statement to the rest of the world that this is not acceptable, because when he's gone, and he eventually will be gone, however he goes, we will have a lot of repairing to do. And if we had, and if we would have had nobody in this country who took a stand against this, we could not have gone to any other countries and said, yeah, but we're not like that. Yeah, but we didn't agree with that. That we could not have done that.
Yeah. And did you see him this morning at the UN?
I did. I can't watch him. I just can't watch him. And
I almost didn't. But I said, look, you know, you owe it to your fellow Americans as a human being and a good American to look at the guy. If you thought the inaugural address, so-called, was a piece of work, his performance today at the UN just trumped that all over the fucking place.
I mean, what I heard was that he was slow. Look, Bob has said it a million times. This is not a well man. And every time he's not in his quote unquote element, that becomes apparent. And he looks not well in two different ways. One way is when he's really slow. Like, I saw a tape of him this morning. So he looked Adderall addled.
He was dosed to the gills, Steve.
Yeah, that's what I heard. But then
when he started speaking, he was, Jesus, he was slow.
Yeah, that's what, yeah.
I don't know if maybe the teleprompter wasn't running fast enough, but he screwed up reading the teleprompter. He said, the United States will never fire or tire. And then whatever.
Time out for a minute. May I get in just a word?
Yeah,
here?
Go, Steve. Go, sure.
I need your all's help, man. I need the Reader's Digest version of what the fuck is going on. I've been under the knife all day, so I am so out of the loop. It's ridiculous. Just in five sentences or less, you know. I don't want to occupy too much time.
Okay, well, let me just ask. Do you know what the Ukraine shit is?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, based on the Ukraine shit, Nancy Pelosi announced today that an impeachment inquiry is beginning based upon the Ukraine shit.
Thank you, Bob. I appreciate that, brother.
And at the same time, the Senate passed a resolution unanimously calling for Trump to release the whistleblower complaint and the transcript, the Steve.
Bipartisan, unanimously? Seriously?
Yes.
Wow. It's getting deep now, isn't it?
And so then he said, I'll release the transcript. But it's going to be, it's going to be, you know, he says it won't be redacted, but it's going to be, it's going to be dummied up.
Oh, Barr will be, he's got his Sharpie out all.
Oh, no, no, not even Barr. This will be done at the in-house chop shop at the White House.
Cool. Well, thanks for bringing me up to speed, and I'm sorry to be such an ignoramus on the subject.
Oh, you're not. Are you feeling okay?
Yeah, I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine. I've just been preoccupied, you know.
Steve, are you old enough to remember when Nixon came on TV and they panned the camera to the right, right, and there was a table and there were a bunch of binders stacked on it, and that was the annotated transcripts of the Watergate tapes that he didn't want to release, so he said,
and
I'll
he
do
did
this.
Want to release them. Right, yep.
And he said, well, we'll have all of these transcripts, and that's where the term expletive deleted came from. In terms of any transcript of this Ukraine conversation that Trump might ever release, I don't see it having much veracity as the White House transcripts of the tapes under Nixon had very little, if any, veracity.
And Scott, do you think, is that why the Senate was so forthcoming and saying, yeah, let's do this?
Well, to quote that great political philosopher, Red Fox,
on Thursday,
when you can read the handwriting on the wall, you're in the toilet. And really, no, seriously, the deal with the Senate is growing a few balls, you know?
Yep.
Maybe.
And by the way, good job on Washington Journal, Scott.
Oh, good. I was hoping you were up and around listening.
Well, I wasn't up, but I went ahead and listened to it. You did a good job, my friend.
Well, I always try to set them straight. But anyway, I'm a little off the topic. But yeah, with the time is of the essence to start behaving as if we've got a pair. And by we, I mean the Democrats.
Right. If not, we're going to be emasculated just, you know, going forward.
Well, yeah. You know,
we're going to set precedence of we're a bunch of pushovers. So it's time. It's time. Well, thanks, guys. Thanks for bringing me up to speed.
But getting back to the ramble at the UN today, and I know this is off the topic of impeachment, but I don't think, Bob, there was a problem at all with the teleprompter. They're professionals up at the UN. They know what the hell they're doing most of the time. The teleprompter was fine.
Yeah, he can't read.
Well, no, he was dosed to the gills, which will have an effect. And also, I'll bet you there's something going on with his brain where his cognitive ability, well, we already have clues, good God, that his cognitive ability is shot. When you compare him speaking today versus him speaking 20 years ago even, some deterioration has occurred mentally and physically with the guy.
Well, as Darlene in Connecticut points out, Trump looked totally fucked up when speaking at the UN. At one point, one of my relatives asked me if Trump's eyes were closed. She thought he was dozing off. His eyes were really squinty, and with that white, weird puffiness that he has under them, sheesh. And Greta Thunberg gave him a look at the UN that could kill. I wish some of our own Dems had the guts to do that. Well, you know, that's something that Agnes has been pointing out. There's something going on with one eye. He's had an event. I don't know if they're TIAs or what, but he doesn't have fine control over one of his eyes.
Well, I know I noticed that today, too, the fact that he looked like, and I was thinking, well, maybe it's the lighting. Well, no. In television today, it's not like the lights of 30 years ago, those big, massive, incandescent, you know, studio lights. Lighting today has become sophisticated. It does the job in terms of illumination and, without being at the expense of the person being illuminated. You're right. I think something is going on with him that is difficult at this point for him to hide, you know, physically going on and mentally going on. Because I almost turned it off, but I said, no, I'm going to soldier on through this and listen to him, if for no other reason than to say, look, you know, here's the guy who's got his finger poised over any number of buttons, you know, who is.
And that is something to be cognizant of. With this.
Well, maybe one's incoming now.
With this level, don't say incoming. With this level of political cynicism, terror, and paranoia, wag the dog is always a possibility, Scott. So, you know, it's as he gets madder, crazier, the more dangerous he becomes. Cornered rats are always the most vicious ones.
It's an inverse relationship in terms of madness and instability versus danger, you know, as opposed to danger, the level of danger that we're peril that we're all at. The guy's certifiable, man. I, you know, and the people that vote for him are not far behind. I mean, they're in the next wagon.
But what I was getting at toward the end of the filibobster. What if this inquiry can develop not evidence not only that Trump was participating, but that Pence was too, and you get a twofer?
Oh, the Ukraine thing?
Yeah.
Well, what do we know about Pence and his actions and viewpoints on that region?
Well, he's publicly stated that he was part of it.
Well,
there's a transcript of his address of his comments, his press conference with President the Duda of Poland, and then there's his admission that he participated in the shakedown in Ukraine and that he also participated in the cover up.
Oh shit.
Because the business about corruption, as President Trump had me make clear, we have great concerns about issues of corruption. The claim of corruption is the cover up. That's the ex post facto justification. And I don't think you're going to have any difficulty hearing this. I've got here a side by side by CNN, side by side battling. Well, not battling, but the first is the first day of Trump justifying his Ukrainian shakedown, and then the second part is his next day new excuse.
We want to make sure that country is honest. It's very important to talk about corruption. If you don't talk about corruption, why would you give money to a country that you think is corrupt? One of the reasons the new president got elected is he was going to stop corruption. My complaint has always been, and I'd withhold again, and I'll continue to withhold until such time as Europe and other nations contribute to Ukraine, because they're not doing it. It's the United States. We're putting up the bulk of the money. And I'm asking, why is that?
Got that? Now, bear in mind, he's worried about corruption. I don't know if anybody's told him, but there has never been a non-corrupt day in the Afghan government in Kabul, and the money just flows. And he's never asked one single question about it. But that, yesterday it was about corruption. Today it's about it costs too much.
I'm back. I know you missed me. I had an issue I had to deal with.
Oh, that was your phone.
Was it?
I don't know. I heard a phone ringing and then...
Oh, no. Maybe it was my phone. I don't know. What the hell? Let me ask you a question. If you guys have already talked about this, I apologize. That Senate vote really struck me as very, very curious. And the reason is because they didn't just ask for the vote for the transcript. They voted to have the whistleblower complaint released.
Yeah. And again, the House is going to vote on the very same thing tomorrow.
Right. And I'm beginning to wonder if the GOP, this might be one of those things where behind closed doors, which, you know, they always, since they're so courageous, they always do it behind closed doors. This might be one of those times in which they're saying, whoa, we can't claim fake news here because this is everything that's in the press is directly from his mouth. And I'm something. And, you know, of course, I've heard we've said this before, but something in my little political sixth sense is telling me this is different. And I think this is sending a message to him that, you know, we've been. I just thought of a really bad analogy. We've been on your side 100%. But this goes a little – something hit close to home with the Republicans in the Senate with this.
Well, it's preservation. Jesus. I mean –
But I agree with you, and I just wonder why not before? What about this? And, you know, you couple this with – what is it, Bob? 41 congressmen are not running again? Did I hear 41?
God, that's taller than I've heard, but –
Well, there were 5 or 7 in Texas GOP incumbents who are going to retire or not
run.
Yeah,
the Texodus.
And that's just Texas. I mean, and that I don't know how many representatives Texas has, but 5 to 7 of them it's not a huge chunk, but it's certainly a noticeable number of people. Especially when their president is supposedly so, you know, loved and supported. I mean, rats don't jump off of a ship unless there's a, you know, unless there's a chance that there's something going to happen to the ship.
Okay, it's not 41, but 14. And I don't know, how many members do they have?
No, it's up to 18 now.
Okay, that's why, what I'm seeing, it's 18 total.
Yeah.
But.
I thought it was more like, were we talking just Republicans?
Yeah.
But I thought it was up in the low 20s, like 23 or something.
Yeah, I think you may be right.
It's hard to keep track of everything, man. It's like we're in the center of a cotton candy machine. Shit's spinning around you and you don't know what the hell's going on. That's why this show works for me. There's stuff like like Stephen Georgestan was saying, and I'm not even under the influence of medical stuff. You know, it's just in an unaltered state, it's hard to keep track of what the hell's going on. And I don't know how you do it, Bob. You and the Horn family, I'm sure they send you stuff or you get audio somehow when it works, you know. But it's like you've got to pay it. People have got to pay attention. And for those who rely on Fox News, so-called, as their only source or the press handouts from the White House, there's more to the story than what you're getting, people. You know, and I'm not saying that the mainstream media necessarily, I mean, they're sloughing off from time to time as well. But, you know, you've got to read and look at, you've got to have websites that you go to that are verifiable and reliable, first of all. And it's part of our contract with our own government as human beings and good Americans you know, you've got to participate, and it's more than just voting every 2 or 4 years. You've got to be informed, you've got to be responsible, and you've got to realize the stakes. It's a never-ending deal with the stakes. And, you know, you were talking about Pence, Bob, and now that you've clarified for me what some of his track record looks like, let's say Trump has had an episode of some sort or is realizing or someone has informed him of his own diminished capacity, and either Pence has stepped up or maybe Trump has said, look, you know, they're really after me, and I need all the help you can give me, Mr. Vice President, you know, so that we can tag team them. So, you know, to use a wrestling term. Maybe, but as far as the Senate vote, I had not heard about that. I'm like Steve in Georgistan. I hadn't heard about that until the show today. And it's like there is, and Steve in New York is right, there is something afoot. They don't, and where is Mitch McConnell in all this? What have his pronouncements been regarding
the vote happen?
That thing didn't happen without his permission.
Well, that's what I mean. Where is he in all of this? You got to look at that aspect of it. And yes, nothing happens automatically in Mitch McConnell's Senate. And if he is Moscow Mitch, and I know Ukraine is not part of the former Soviet Union anymore because that entity doesn't exist, but what are his marching orders? Who is he getting his marching orders from? He being Mitch, you know? There's a lot of stuff to tie into the equation to hopefully come up with some sort of answer to the problem.
Hopefully it'll be all answered Thursday. I hope they arrest the DNI if he doesn't turn over that report.
Yeah, because
well, he has to be within the jurisdiction.
Well, and he's going to be speaking to the.
Yeah, well, if he shows, unless Bill Barr tells him not to.
And isn't that the requirement that if the Congress is doing an investigation that's a bona fide investigation, and they request information to move them forward in that process, that the specific agency has to submit it so that it can be part of the record and part of the consideration and investigation. And to withhold.
He's already violated the law, Scott.
Well, that's what I mean. It's like people apparently are not aware that the degree of either incompetence or ineptness or downright obstruction and corruption that we're dealing with the Trump regime. And maybe at long last, people are starting to take some notice. They say that as fall 2019 gets underway, especially up in the early primary states, that people begin to pay a little bit more attention. And it speeds up month by month toward, you know, the culmination of the election cycle. And these are things that have to be considered now and ongoing as we make a choice in November. And I'm not the brightest guy on earth. If I get this, certainly more people ought to latch on to this notion.
Well, there are so many things that are swirling around all of this that Steve from Georgistan, don't feel bad, man. It's easy to get lost. By the way, note coming in from Darlene on Trump's appearance. Mueller had blown out eye bags down to his super square jawline when he was before the House committees in July, but they looked of normal coloring and size for a guy that clearly had gotten no sleep the night before. and you knew that once the pressure was off and he caught up on his sleep, his eye bags would deflate back to usual levels and he'd be fine. With Trump, though, his eye bags are different. There's something weird going on. They're always the same, discolored, or actually white, which is the absence of color. They are kind of the shape and size of swim goggles, and that's precisely what they are, Darlene. Those are the... You put on if you've got a tanning bed, you put on goggles before you get under the bulbs because you don't want to roast your eyes. And so that's the, you know, that's the outline. There used to be a little tanning bed place up the road here years and years and years ago. And like for women, when they'd go in and get their tans, like when they turned over and they had little stickers like a butterfly or a heart or a cupid or something that would block the tanning bed ultraviolet rays. So that when you peeled that sticker back after you'd been in the tanning bed, you had a little reverse tattoo of a heart or a cupid or a butterfly or a rose or something like that. And the tanning bed goggles do the same thing. And so, and that's where the orange color comes from, too. Remember John of Orange, the former Speaker of the House? He was the same color. That color is what tanning beds turn you. It's a dead giveaway. And they're doing that with him in an attempt to create an appearance that he's actually healthy. Because he is not.
Yeah, robustness, vibrance in his appearance, but it's artificially produced.
Hey, gents. Yes. And others.
And Tracy.
Yeah, yes. I see and Tracy. I do a little checking. The U.S. Code grants the Sergeant-at-Arms the same jurisdiction as the Capitol Police. Capitol Police does not have only jurisdiction on the Hill. It has jurisdiction in the Library of Congress, and it has concurrent jurisdiction with other enforcement agencies. I'm reading off of Wikipedia, including the Park Police and Metro and MPD, which is the Metro Police of D.C., in an area approximately 200 blocks around the complex.
Oh, yeah. I've on many occasions walking from our 8 campaign headquarters to the little grocery store over on Massachusetts Avenue. You know, deep into those Capitol Hill neighborhoods from the 1880s and 1890s, it's nothing to see a Capitol Police cruiser parked.
Which what I'm saying is the Sergeant-at-Arms could go off of the Hill as long as a federal building were within that 200 block radius. They could go and get the DNI. I don't know where his or her office is. This is interesting to me because I didn't think it was as cut and dry as, you know what? I have an urgent call coming in. I'll probably have to step off here.
Okay. Thanks for that.
Well, but my point is that when Nancy Pelosi spoke, she basically told him he better show up Thursday with that whistleblower's complaint.
Right. And, I just got a breaking news alert across email. The New York Times reporting the White House is said to be working out a deal that would let the whistleblower who filed a complaint about President Trump speak to Congress. A deal?
By deal, do they mean not he's agreed not to be forthcoming and comprehensive? Because that ain't much of a deal.
Right. Well, I mean, Corey Lewandowski had a deal, too. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but his lawyer was already in contact with Adam Schiff to arrange it, waited for him to speak.
Right. And the White House is playing catch-up. And they're trying to make it look like they're being cooperative.
So they have time to threaten if they know who he is.
Right. And they do. They do. Because the acting DNI is a maggot.
There was a headline the other day, maybe in the last day or so, somebody on one of the cable news programs was pointing out that a lot of the stuff, the disclosures that are coming out about Trump are coming from his own side, which should be, that should be indicative of something. When you've got your own side offering evidence against you, then you're not in really a very stable, safe position. I forget what the who the talking head was or who the what the program was. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, didn't this whistleblower, aren't they saying that they want to make arrangements for he or she to appear as quickly as possible, you know, to tell what he or she knows, and that's being blocked, if I'm hearing it correctly. Who is the director of national intelligence? Because I can't get, that's another thing.
That's the problem. That's the problem. Like everybody else, he's an acting.
Oh, good.
Because
well,
because Dan Coats got ran in July, yeah. And then this stuff went down.
Yeah.
You know, the somebody.
Somebody?
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Hey, Gary, I'm echoing back.
I'm on it.
Okay. But the other interesting aspect to all of this is the interplay, because nothing is run. Nothing. It's becoming more and more obvious that this White House is so dysfunctional that nothing in the way of the traditional runnings of a White House are taking place. For instance, the shakedown went from Trump to Mick Mulvaney. You know, he kind of runs in the background a lot, but we forget that he's been around from jump. He started out as his Office of Management and Budget, and he got confirmed as that, but then he also is acting chief of staff. And so Trump told Mulvaney to shake down the Ukrainians, and Mulvaney, in turn, passed that along to Mike Pompeo, who we all know graduated, God, what a knee slapper, first in his class at West Point, when in fact it should be state running the diplomatic stuff, you know, for the president. So, but Mulvaney's got a hand in it because he's also running OMB, and so he's got his hands on the money that was earmarked for Ukraine, which, curiously, you know the whole thing about this? They've probably stolen the money from Ukraine to use on the stupid fucking wall.
Oh, no. Here we go with that.
We have, look, my point is that we really have no goddamned idea the level of misfeasance, malfeasance, and perfidy that's taking place in all of this.
Yeah, and superimposed over that, Bob, if an entity is going to undermine the quality and the ability of a nation, part of how they do it is to make it not function as it's designed to. You know?
Right. You know, the original, the etymology of the word sabotage goes to the French word for, I believe, the wooden shoes that some industrial workers wore. They were called sabots, S-A-B-O-T.
Mm-hmm.
And to throw them into the machine and cause the gears to grind to a halt was sabotage.
And
so making the gears stop turning is part of this administration's mission.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you couldn't have picked a more perfect stooge to put in the presidency than Donald J. Trump. And I'm sure somebody thought of this going in. I won't say the name, but I'll give you the initials, V like Victor, P like Papa, you know? It's astonishing. The books that are going to come out in the wake of this fiasco, and by fiasco, I mean the Trump regime, the age of Trump, there will be books, there will be movies, there will be courses taught, there will be not think tanks, but, you know, his effect, he doesn't realize it, but he won't only have a negative effect in decades to come, but the name Trump will be added to the up near the top, if not the top, of the wall of infamy and ineptness and incompetence and insanity. If we will but learn from this episode, that's the key to it. Because what's the sense of going through something if you have not profited from it in the sense of the, you know, gaining a little wisdom, gaining a little experience, you know? And America needs to wake up in that regard. This is not a rehearsal. This is our fucking country. This is our government. This is our future. And if you've got people throwing wooden shoes into the fucking gears of our system, then the fucking alarm bells need to be going off. And
Scott, that's why Trump is the symptom and not the disease.
Oh, I know.
Because, you know, Grover Norquist, drown the government in a bathtub, starve the beast.
Yeah.
Weakening the federal government's ability to address the needs of we the people is an operative philosophy of the GOP and has been for a couple of generations.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus, Barry Goldwater was willing to start World War III.
Oh, sure, lob a nuke into the men's room in Moscow. Isn't that one of his... And the other day, I was watching, God bless him, the late, great Gore Vidal. And I know Gore has a few faults, okay? But, man, he had insights. He had nothing at all good to say about the Republican Party. He called them accurately that they are at the top of the list of bad actors. You know,
who's the House Minority Leader?
The House Minority Leader,
Kevin McCarthy.
McCarthy, yeah, I was going to say Ryan or McCarthy.
Anybody, I can't think of his name.
Yeah, Kevin.
He's from California.
Yeah, Kevin McCarthy, Sparky.
Okay, he just come out in front of the press and said the Democrats can't launch an impeachment inquiry unilaterally. It was just on MSNBC.
Yeah, they can. I don't seem to recall any Democrat any Democrats voting yes on the formation of a committee investigating impeachment on Clinton. Do you? Yeah, they're flinging shit at the wall at this point. And by the way, I've got a question coming from Kitty in Boston.
But they're starting a distraction camp.
What? You broke up there, Sparky.
They're starting a distraction campaign.
Oh, it's look, that's classic. It's the old mantra they teach you on the first day of law school. If you've got the facts, pound on the facts. If you've got the law, pound on the law. And if you ain't got either one, pound on the table. Well, they're table pounding. They're going to say that you can't impeach him because there's not a Q in September.
Yeah.
Or a J in October.
And there's also the old adage, if you can't blind them with brilliance,
baffle them with bullshit. Sure.
Exactly. Yeah. You know.
But I want to get to this question from Kitty in Boston real quick. What's an easier way to remove Trump, impeachment or 25th Amendment? Operative term is easier. Neither are easy. I would say at this point in time that the mathematics, if you were to get one of those genius number crunchers out there, you know, one of the Vegas folks, they would probably tell you that you got better odds on impeachment than you do on 25th Amendment, because the 25th Amendment requires the action of the principals of the executive branch, and it's used in the 25th Amendment, but it's not defined anywhere in the Constitution. So the moment that the 25th Amendment Section 4 letter gets written, the president himself would appeal it, take it to the Supreme Court, and try to get him to say that no, the people who signed the letter aren't principals. Whereas with impeachment, I mean, we can get, and again, we've got to keep these things separate and distinct, because it's one of the things that hobgoblins the entire process. Impeachment is the charge. He's only removed after trial in the Senate and a 2/3 majority vote. Getting impeachment is not going to be that difficult, especially with the great weight of evidence that's out there. Remember, there were multiple counts against Nixon. If we get to the point of a bill of impeachment being drafted in the House, there will be multiple counts against Trump. There will be something there that everybody can, well, not the maggots, but there will be something that, so that you can get a majority on at least some counts and get it to the Senate. But then the Senate is where everything goes haywire. And see, that's part of, bless his heart, labor man asked me a little bit ago, a twofer? Are you on drugs? When I talked about getting a twofer with Pence, because he's in this up to his eyeballs too. And Laborman said, Moscow Mitch convincing Scrump and Pence to make Nancy Prez? Holy shit, send me some of your stuff, LOL. That's not what... No, impeachment is something that happens in the House. The Senate doesn't have a goddamn thing to do with impeachment. Nothing. Moscow Mitch can sit over there and pontificate and cuss and carry on and play with himself and piss and moan and do anything he wants to, but he does not get a goddamn vote in what the House does. So yeah, the House could, based on Pence's behavior, you could get an impeachment. Impeachment happens when the House votes in a majority to impeach. What happens after the Senate acts is either acquittal or conviction. It's a bifurcated process. And we've gone over the rules of how the Senate goes about it, and there are rules in the House, too. And you may rest assured that those rules have been consulted, and that we are going down this road we're going down by virtue of the operation of the rules. These are, of course, the Democrats. The Democrats tend to play by the rules, whereas the Republicans make them up as they go along. But the important part of Kitty's inquiry is the getting rid of Trump part. And that's where you have to ask the question, does he brazen it out? Does he try to pretend that he's Bill Clinton being impeached over a blowjob? Or does he behave with some modicum of decency, recognizing how much trouble he's going to be in when he's out of office, and resign after cutting a deal to make sure that he gets a pardon? I mean, this shit games out like lines coming off the center of a spider web. This stuff has moves in it that would make Garry Kasparov's head hurt.
Another aspect to consider, and I think it is a valid consideration, thinking back to the summer of 74, when the House Judiciary brought about articles of impeachment against Nixon, and then Hugh Scott, Barry Goldwater, and John Rhodes went up the street to see Nixon a few days before he resigned to basically let him know, and Nixon alluded to this in his resignation speech, that he had lost his base of power in the Congress. And Nixon did the correct thing by going away, okay? Trump, I wonder if he can be relied upon at some point. Well, this is what, that's it, and that is a consideration.
No, I have said, I'm on record here because there's an archive. I have said that if this thing went all the way to a place that this republic has never been, namely impeachment, trial in the Senate, conviction, and removal from office, Trump would not leave after conviction. He would have to be forcibly removed.
Maybe by way of Thorazine dart, you know, and put him.
No,
on
I mean, it's the Capitol Police versus the FBI and the Secret Service, or the FBI versus the Secret Service.
Day three shootout on the South Lawn.
What's barking?
They all took an oath to protect and serve and protect the Constitution of the United States.
That's true, but the Secret Service protects the president. I mean, it would be a very, very curious thing.
Well, you saying the Secret Service is all maggots?
I'm saying there's a lot of them in it.
Yeah.
I mean, remember when Barack Obama was about to take office, and we found out that a bunch of right-wing Secret Service members were passing ginger jokes back and forth about him?
Well, you know, if I were still on speaking terms with my brother who had been in the Secret Service, I would call and ask him about that scenario. But we're no longer, we communicate primarily via rumor and innuendo at this point.
I mean, this is, there are instances like this through history. Consider that at one point in time, there were two popes. There was one at Rome and one at Avignon. And that went on for 100 years or more. That's why I've tried to enforce or reinforce the fragile nature of the social contract that we have. Everybody has to agree that it's in everybody's best interest for it to work. We don't live there now. 30% of the voters in this country would burn the entire country to the ground in order to protect Donald Trump and his skeevy, pornographic family. Jesus Christ, we haven't really even talked about much of the UN stuff. Did you see the... And I know this is the tacky part, and maybe this is sexist. If it is, I apologize.
You're going there?
Yeah, I'm going there.
You're going there, Bob?
I'm going there. Did anybody see the pictures of Ivanka yesterday?
I raised my hand. I did.
Oh, Jesus. I mean, this is the tackiest, sleaziest bunch of grifters. The Grant administration was full of corruption. The Harding administration was full of corruption. The Nixon administration, the Reagan administration, the W. Bush administration. But this is our first pornographic administration. Apparently, Ivanka, having been raised by a dirty old man daddy, I guess it rubbed off. Probably shouldn't say rubbed off. And I'm trying not to be too particularly graphic about it, but actually, I didn't see this at first. Agnes saw this and sent it to me with an "Oh my God." She's wearing a tight fitted blouse and apparently thinks that she's at a porn star convention and not the United Nations. Now, I don't know, maybe the air conditioning was running extra cold. I don't know. But I do know that the females in my family would rather not be seen in public than to be seen looking like they had dropped 45 caliber bullets in their bra.
Oh, no. I saw him pan to her sitting up in the gallery, but I didn't take notice of her glass cutters, her upper frontal glass cutters.
Yeah, see, I'm trying not to run down into the gutter here.
Well, then why was I invited to this front porch party, Bob?
Well, but
I mean, my eyes went to that. The first time I saw the picture, my eyes went straight there and go, "Oh my God."
Well, see, there's another picture of melanoma out there now, and because there's lots of them, where she's wearing a dress so see-through that you can actually see her nipples. And look, I understand. This is human biology. Those aren't sex organs. Those are mammary glands for feeding young. I get that. But there are social conventions around all of this, and I'm kind of an iconoclast. I don't feel like I need to go to church or anything because the woman's nipples were visible through her blouse. But this, you know, this is deliberate.
I mean, there's decorum.
They make bras, and in fact, the vast majority of them now, based on what I'm able to figure out, are foam lined for modesty, and nobody told Ivanka, I guess. And they're just, I mean, it's just another symbol. It's like having a guy who has an intellectual disability sarcastically troll a 16-year-old little Swedish girl with Asperger's. And, of course, we don't even use Asperger's as a diagnosis in the United States anymore, I'm told. But Donald Trump trolled Greta Thunberg yesterday. And then she counter-trolled him by putting his troll comment as her signature line on her Twitter page. And yeah, that video of her running across Nitwit Nero at the UN, the look she gave him. Yeah, if looks could kill, he would have gone away in pieces in a basket.
Well, and he was not getting, you know, if it comes down to daggers versus hearts, he was not getting hearts from the Iran seat at the table or the China seat at the table. And there may have been one or two more that I missed.
But it feels like things are picking up pace. It feels like things are getting faster and weirder, and that we're moving toward some kind of
weirder there.
Crux. I mean, the takeaway pull line out of the UN address today was: the future does not belong to globalists. It belongs to patriots. And there was a pause there. And everybody who heard him say, "not globalists, it belongs to," immediately knew that the real word is not patriots. The real word is nationalists.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I made the allusion to the inaugural address, so-called, in January 20th, 2017. If you thought that was a piece of work, you know, look at his. It was deplorable what he got up there and read. I don't know who wrote that speech. John Bolton's gone.
No, that's pure Stephen Miller.
Oh, Jesus.
Or I don't know. Maybe somebody in the comms chop shop did it, but it had a lot of Stephen Miller about it. Oh, and by the way, in case anybody
we don't need a press secretary anymore.
No. Yeah, Hogan Gidley and you know, whatever. But and you know when you're in a capitalist country, even the political system is going to be capitalist too. So naturally, even though she had not yet announced the impeachment inquiry, before it even happened, the maggot campaign was sending out fundraising appeals. The fundraising email was published by the Center for Public Integrity today. President Trump is launching the official Impeachment Defense Task Force. Yeah.
And who's in the task force?
Oh, it's the Trump campaign.
Oh. Alan, Congressman Schiff is on. Crusades, I'm going to listen to him.
Okay. Let us know if he says anything groundbreaking. So Tracy, you've been terribly, terribly quiet through all of this, and you actually got the ball rolling by asking what's an impeachment inquiry. Sometimes it takes a minute to.
Hey.
There she is. The button takes a minute.
You know, it takes because I'm like. I was listening to everybody, and Jen and I were trying. I was going to cook dinner, and then it was like, "Fuck, it's so damn hot." I just the thought of cooking makes my heart just like, no, I can't. And I was listening to you guys about the, and I was just going to text, but you were talking about Ivanka and her nipples, and I just
well, I mean, you're the only woman in this conversation. If I was out of line, please tell me.
No, because the only thing that came to my memory banks was when they lost their fucking minds about Michelle with no sleeves. That part.
Well, there is that.
The hypocrisy.
I mean, that's fair. If Michelle Obama had ever appeared in public looking like she had put 45 caliber pistol ammunition in the cups of her bra, the shrieking would still be echoing off the ionosphere.
Yeah, that part. I mean, because like I said, the only reason why I've been so quiet is because it's not that I didn't have anything to add to the conversation. It's because everything that you guys were talking about answered my questions. So, well, you know, because it's like. It's because I'm just thinking, my goodness, there's so much to think about in this situation. Is this a dog a pony show? Is something going to really happen? And my only worry about this is how much it's going to fuck with Jan's daytime television and the mood she's going to be in because she can't watch in her hospital.
Oh dear! At some point, if it gets serious, even the networks may interrupt.
That part.
and don't laugh at that, because that happened during the Senate Watergate.
Oh, yes.
Until they decided to rotate it so that the soap opera and game show fans wouldn't be put out. That's a real thing. excuse me, not soap operas, daytime dramas.
Yes, novellas.
Soap operas.
The continuing story.
No, because I got to gauge this shit. No, I got to make sure that, because when she called me to tell me about, because I didn't get the news. She called me to tell me about Pelosi, and then the side note is fucking with General Hospital.
Yeah, thank God we hadn't reached the Luke and Laura phase. There would have been national rioting if that had been preempted.
Yeah, because the soap operas do on a regular basis during the sweeps months, the ratings months. They do hype up the storylines, you know. Get those ad books for makeup and cake mix commercial. I love it. Well, I was hoping you would speak up, Tracy, because you always have, an insider three to throw in there, you know, from your vantage point.
Well, like I said, I mean, because the whole thing is, like you said, like Bob said earlier, when Pelosi was naming up the committees, and I love how, like you said, she saved the best for last. Auntie Max. Yes. It's like, because, like you said, since he has such, limited memory banks, that she had to save Auntie Maxine for last, so he would remember that part.
Yeah.
Well, at least dipshit Donnie got a little bit of happy news. He got approved for this is problematic anyway. He got approved for a second Scottish golf course today. Now, how does he do that while he's still president of the United States?
Well, there's that, but there's also the fact that the first one is not actually working out real well, as I recall. Didn't his neighbors up in Scotland put up a huge fuss?
Yes, and he lost his ass trying to sue Scotland to make them take their wind turbines down.
Yeah.
And he was even ordered to pay their costs. Of course, he'll deadbeat on that.
Yeah.
So now he's going to build the MacLeod course. At Meni, M-E-N-I-E, Meni, in Aberdeenshire. And, of course, he named it after his mama, Marianne MacLeod. You know, the illegal immigrant. Came here on a vacation visa, but turned out she was actually husband hunting, and she worked as a maid illegally until she could, Well, she did the best she could, and she snatched up young Klansman Fred Trump. Yeah, I wish the Scots would have looked at him and said, "What you want a second golf course? Nay, there can be only one." Shame on me.
And this is the guy that the Republicans are tying their wagon to in terms of their electoral future, you know? Maybe there is justice.
Well, it's going to... Some of this we have to wait for. Oh, and by the way, we had a quote the other night. Remember that some of this is payback for Paul Manafort. He's trying, in some ways, the Biden business is actually a setup within what passes for his own mind, a setup for pardoning Paul Manafort. Don't let that slip past. But the other thing that we haven't gotten to that we probably should is, and I know it's pop culturally, but whatever. It's just so goddamn sleazy. What happened with Laura Ingraham, who is as nasty, as vile a human being as exists in this country today. She compared Greta Thunberg to children of the corn. It was so bad, her own brother clapped back at her on Twitter, saying, "Clearly my sister's paycheck is more important than the world her three adopted kids will inherit." Interesting that they're adopted, insofar as it's interesting that anybody who cared about children would let Laura Ingraham adopt one, let alone three. Then again, maybe her insides are rocky ground where no seed can find no purchase. I don't know. It may be even an ovum wouldn't want to live in that environment. But he says, "I can no longer apologize for a sibling who I no longer recognize. I can and will continue to call out the monstrous behavior and the bully commentary born of anger."
You know, it's stuff like comments like that that are needless. First of all, they're mean. Most people who are rational would at least think or consider before saying or tweeting such a thing. And I don't have a lot of regrets in life, Bob, but some years ago, about 10 or 12 years ago, maybe 15, Laura Ingraham had a major health challenge that could have killed her. It was cancer. I'm pretty sure it was breast cancer. And when this was announced, lo, those many years ago, I actually felt some degree of compassion for her, genuinely, as a human being, so I thought, you know. And it's stuff like this. Those irresponsible, mean-spirited comments, needless comments, make me want to take back any goodwill that I might have sent her away just on a human-to-human basis. That stuff doesn't fly with me. I mean, how old is that young girl?
16.
She's in her... Yeah. You don't bash. Children
and
are like...
And remember, she sailed. She sailed from Sweden to the United States.
In an environmental-friendly vehicle. So, I mean, she does put herself on the line and on the record that she doesn't just say stuff. She actually is trying to do something, you know?
Yeah, and then, well, in the same episode where, no, it wasn't. So Laura Ingraham called her children of the corn, but over at Fox, they weren't done because Harris Faulkner... had on this guy named Michael Knowles, who comes from some shithole website called Daily Wire, and he attacked her too. And I just happen to have the audio, or at least I think I do. Here we go.
None of that matters because the climate hysteria movement is not about science. If it were about science, it would be led by scientists rather than by politicians and a mentally ill Swedish child who is...
Got that?
Oh, my God. Fuck that fucking fucker. Sorry.
I heard about that.
He's dumber than a handful of shit anyway. Because the climate... The climate crisis is led by scientists.
Yes.
I mean, I was present when Dr. James Hansen of NASA got arrested in front of a coal prep plant down in the sacrifice zone. There are tens of thousands of scientists who are leading this struggle. But
and on, it's not It's not hysteria if it's based on the reality of the situation. It's simply pointing out what the fuck's going on.
And you know, but so it wasn't done. I mean, I want to give credit to a guy named Han.
Solo?
Yeah.
Did you hear me, Bob?
Yeah.
I said.
I no, what? No, it wasn't Han. No, not Han Solo.
Said Solo?
No. But no, Chris Han responded. But, you know, I think this bears playing simply to show how vile and how vicious and how hateful so-called conservatives really are. I mean, Fox apologized and said, oh, no, we're not going to call him back.
Being exploited by her. None of that matters. None of that matters because the climate hysteria movement is not about science. If it were about science, it would be led by scientists rather than by politicians and a mentally ill Swedish child who is being exploited by her parents and by the international left.
How dare you.
So what you're seeing here is a political movement and a religious movement, and it's fulfilling religious and political goals of the left, but it isn't doing very much for science.
Chris, you had a visceral reaction to that. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, you're a grown man and you're attacking a child. Shame on you. She's trying
to
do what she thinks
is
right.
For exploiting
and by the way,
now
relax, skinny boy. I got this. Okay, you're attacking a child. You're a grown man. Have some coof.
I'm not. I'm attacking the left for exploiting a mentally ill child.
Maybe on your podcast, you get away and say whatever you want because nobody's listening. You're on national television. Be a grown up when you're talking about children. She's trying to save the planet because your president doesn't believe in climate change, and kids need to take to the streets to worry about their future. You are despicable for talking to her about her like that, and you should apologize on national television right now.
I think the international left and her parents who are exploiting a girl with many mental illnesses.
You called her mentally ill. Take it back now.
She is
Take
mentally
it
ill.
Back now.
She is mentally ill. She has
Take
autism. She has
now.
Obsessive compulsive disorder. She has selective
you
mutism.
Are,
she had depression.
You are despicable.
Her mother wrote
you
about.
Yeah, good for Chris Han, but not for nothing. But the spectrum is not defined as mental illness anymore. In fact,
you know what?
In fact, there's even a new term or a new-ish term. People on the spectrum are referred to as neurodiverse.
But you know what?
What was this guy's name that said that?
Michael Knowles.
Dickie McCocknocker. Sorry.
What is his diagnosis? Because there's got to be a diagnosis.
Stupid.
For a person who would behave in that
Republican.
Manner.
That's the diagnosis.
There you go.
He's got magatitis.
Yeah, if Greta Thunberg was a 20-week embryo, he would love her. But she's a real, fully functioning, actualized 16-year-old child who recognizes that long after the Donald Trumps and Michael Knowles and Rupert Murdochs and Harris Faulkners are all long goddamn gone, her generation is going to be left to pick up the pieces and clean up the goddamn mess. And somebody's got me running in the background.
You know what? Did you actually see the video of that, Bob?
I watched it just now.
Okay, I would have to say this: the look on the dickweed's face was like, it wiped the smile right off his face. And I thought to myself, I'm not a violent person, but that's someone you just want to slap right upside the head and say, "What the fuck is wrong with you?"
And I think Chris Han would have done that if they'd been in the same room.
Oh, I think he would have too. That's exactly what I was going to say. That look on Chris Hahn's face was like, you're lucky you're not sitting here because I would punch you right in the mouth and you deserve every bit of it.
And by the way, going back for a moment, had a note from Kyle in Kentucky, Stan. You have no idea how much I want it to be the financial crimes that ultimately bring down the orange asshole. Because for over 90% or more. Oh, wait. No. Because it would mean that Auntie Maxine would be one of the most important players in the end of his reign of terror. Can you just imagine the reaction of the right wing, and especially the asshole himself, if a black woman plays a significant role in helping remove his fat ass from office? Oh, and by the way, I'm sure he's screaming ginger at the top of his lungs even as we speak, because really, it was that brief address by John Lewis that kind of changed things today. History is watching. And so that's two. And then there's Elijah Cummings. And it is probably driving his racism that has informed every day of his life, his miserable, no-account life, absolutely up a tree. And then Kyle also responding to the clip there. Wait a minute. Did that stupid fuck actually say that a movement to save the planet started because over 90% of scientists have explained how we only have 10 to 12 years left to reverse our negative impacts on the climate before it's too late to stop the negative effects of our use of fossil fuels and other pollutants is not based on science? Jesus, these people are so stupid and disingenuous. And did I mention how much I fucking hate them? Yes, he did.
Even the military and the intelligence agencies and the oil companies themselves have known for some time that we are risking the future by sticking with these fossil fuels. Even they know the security problems and existence problems inherent in staying this course. So it's not just the scientists. It's people with brain, viable brain cells to bang together know this. You know, it's very, very, it's
and,
very
and,
frustrating.
And look, I've mentioned it before. The other significant group that's on board with the reality of the climate crisis is a whole bunch of Republicans who happen to run insurance companies.
Oh, hell, yeah. The insurance companies have been on this, frankly, for decades. For decades.
But they think that they can hedge their bets and get away with shit. So they give their money to Republican candidates because they want to maximize the money they make before the shit hits the fan.
But they play a dangerous game to think that they've got the timing right to make hay, so to speak, while the sun shines, if I'm not mixing my metaphors, because if anything, the clock is probably ticking faster than most people realize.
Well, you know
what,
Scott?
Well, the time to have done something is not necessarily now, although it is now, but we should have been about finding workable solutions to this issue. Because it's not like we didn't see it coming. One of the oil companies, I forget whether it was Exxon or Mobil or one of them, had papers in their internal communications dating back 30 years.
Yeah. I think it was actually Exxon Mobil. You're right. It was then Exxon only. But yeah, no, they had that shit in there for decades.
Yeah.
Can I give you on the spot climate change?
Oh, do please.
We're under red flag alert today in the Northern Valley. Think about it. The last couple of years have been the most devastating fires in Northern California, but we never had all these fucking winds that we're getting now. It's like we're getting our own Santa Anas now compared to Southern California.
Oh, that's great. Well, oddly enough, here in West Virginia,
all the power companies have said, just be prepared if your power goes out, don't panic. Both Southern California Edison and PG&E and some others, the local utilities.
Well, here in West Virginia, we're under a statewide no burn order. It rained yesterday for the first time in ages. And that's kind of weird for this time of year. The forest floor is covered in dry oak leaves now. And it shouldn't be.
Can't you just rake that away?
Agnes and I were out in the woods, and we had forgotten our rakes, but we certainly would have if it.
Hey, Bob, I have to ask you.
Dried oak leaves burn really good.
And fast, and hot.
Yes, and hot.
I had to ask you a question, Bob. Agnes is quite the woman. What the hell did you do to get such that red hair? Or this, I guess it's strawberry blonde.
No, it's red. It's red.
Who'd you pay to get someone so that's?
Oh, it's been commented on. I'm hitting way above my average, and this one buddy of mine said, "Dude, you outkicked your coverage."
Oh, I gotta make a remark. Speaking of outkicking your coverage, I have to say how joyously happy I was at what happened to that team up north against Wisconsin.
Oh man, that was embarrassing.
Oh, and it was beautiful. It occurred
joy
to me.
Joy in Ann Arbor may not ever speak to me again if we enjoy this too much, Steve. I just want to let you know that.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I've gotten to the point where, I mean, when I was a kid growing up, that game always meant it always determined something. And it's not even a fun game to watch anymore, because the only thing that has lately come out of it is either one of two things. Either Ohio State wins and they go to a bowl, or they go to the championship game, or that other team wins and they're nothing but a spoiler for Ohio State. And it's depressing.
Well, in all honesty, I have to wonder, you know, because there was so much fanfare around the hiring of Jim Harbaugh.
He's the problem.
I wonder how long they're going to put up with him. You know, they got rid of Rich Rod and Big Hair Rita in a hot minute.
When you have a history, it's clear to two things. Here was the reason Urban Meyer was so, and you know what, I was looking at some, reading some stuff, or looking at some clips the other day. He had an 81, I think it was an 81-9 or an 81-7 record in the 7 years he was there, which I've heard people who are, you know, on ESPN and whatnot just say that's unbelievable. And I think part of the reason is that he brought the SEC style of ball to the Big Ten. And what happened was the Big Ten was a 3 yards and a cloud of dust. It's all about size and wearing your opponent down. And he brought speed. And what happened is speed could run by size. And the problem with Harbaugh is he is playing a Shem Beckler, Woody Hayes, 3 yards and a cloud of dust.
Well, but right,
and the other doesn't work anymore.
But in the Woody Hayes Schembechler era, the other thing, Steve, is that you had a couple of guys that could go out and recruit every blue chip quarterback in a 6-state area and bench them just to keep the other team from getting them, and it happened. But it's kind of a rarity, you know. Once in a while, you get a great coaching rivalry, not just a great football rivalry. And the school rivalry may not match the coaching rivalry. So in Schembechler and Woody, you had something that was extremely special. Down south, Bear Bryant and Shug Jordan. But when the coaching quality is not equal to the passion of the rivalry, you lose out. Hey, Agnes just called me to go back into the house for a minute. Can y'all carry on without me for a second, please?
Sure.
Thanks.
Anybody watch pro football?
I can tell you, when I was a kid, I grew up near Cincinnati, and when I was a kid, my uncle used to take me to Bengals games back when they were decent.
Yeah, well, they let.
Oh, they suck ass.
They're
they're 0-3, just like the Pittsburgh Steelers are 0-3.
Yeah.
I mean, the poor Pittsburgh Steelers got the ball handed to them 5 times, and all they could come away with was 6 points.
And how are the Niners?
When did you?
49ers beat them.
Are the Niners 3-0? Are they 3-0?
Yeah, they beat the Steelers. They got the ball with like 5 minutes left to go, and they run off 4 minutes. The Steelers fumbled the ball, and they got the ball back. And they run off like 4 minutes, going like 40 yards to the end zone, and left the Steelers like with like a minute and 17 seconds.
That's funny.
And then the Niners defense just crushed them. After that, they couldn't do shit.
When did you live in the Cincinnati area?
Well, I grew up in Ohio. I lived north of Dayton for a while. I lived south of Dayton for a while. I was born in 71. I left for D.C. to go to GW in 89. And I haven't lived. I mean, I went back to Ohio in the summers. I actually worked at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in the summers. Sparky should know Wright-Pat.
Been there once.
Yeah. Well, that's everyone knows that's where they keep the alien spacecraft.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wright-Patterson?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, there was a Hangar 86 or some shit like that. If you remember Project Blue Book, I think it was actually run out of Wright-Patt.
Yeah, isn't that where they did the alien autopsy? Yeah.
I went there for a reunion in 2006.
Uh-huh.
And we got a special thing, our group, the Utapau alumni group. We all took pictures under the B-52 and everything, but they gave us a special tour of the presidential hangar. They had the presidential plane for Kennedy, and then they took us to the restoration hangars where they were, at the time, they were restoring the Enola Gay.
Oh,
not cool.
Not the Enola Gay, but I mean the Memphis Belle.
Yeah, yeah. There was a sister plane. I couldn't remember the name.
Boxcar is at the Air Force Museum.
Yeah, the Air Force Museum. I grew up. That's, you know what? I love planes, and part of it's because when I was a kid, Dad and I used to go to the Air Force Museum and all the time, and I just grew up loving. I love airplanes. And you see planes there that you just don't see anywhere else.
Well, I got to go there and see the exact airplane I worked on in Okinawa in 1972.
Wait a minute, the plane?
The plane. When you worked on SR-71s, there's only so
many. Oh, that's right. There's only so many of them. That's cool, man.
I remember working on that exact airplane. 197. Oh, Jesus Christ, I forget the anyway.
Is it true? I heard somebody say that when those planes used to have to sit on the tarmac for like an hour to warm up, and that there's in the gas tank, there's holes in the gas tank that because of the heat actually close. I don't know if this is close up.
The gas tanks leak on the ground.
Yeah, until they take off or something like that, right?
Until they get to altitude, then they seal up because the plane expands.
Because of the friction.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's one of my favorite planes. And they have, you saw they have the YF-12A there, which was the prototype.
I got to go underneath the YF-12A. They wouldn't let me get close to the SR-71. They had it all roped off.
Uh-huh.
But the YF-12 is over in the presidential hangar.
Right.
And I was able to go underneath it. And it was the second time I'd seen a YF-12 because I went to New York City and went on the Intrepid.
There's one up there?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's one on the deck of the Intrepid.
We've got an aviation museum here in San Diego in Balboa Park that I've been out here like over almost 20 years, and I've never gone to it. But I used to love pardon me, the Air and Space Museum in D.C. So I would probably like our aviation museum here, but I've just never gotten around to go.
Right.
But I remember before the current Air and Space Museum was built on the Mall in Washington in around 70, I think it opened in 76, thereabouts. At one time, you know, the Red Castle part of the old Smithsonian Institution, the entirety of the air and space display in the early 60s was in a Quonset hut next to the Red Castle, and there were a couple rockets outside that were obviously too big to put indoors anywhere. And I saw John Glenn's capsule there and a couple of other early aviation deals. But that Air and Space Museum has, a couple of years ago, expanded out by Dulles Airport. They built a facility where the huge airplanes and things are, where you can actually walk in and look at the various military and civilian aircraft. I hear it's very impressive, but I've been to D.C. in like over 20 years, so I need to get out there.
When were you in D.C.? I
went to eighth grade in a Quonset hut. It was the first portable classroom.
Yeah. I grew up just outside of D.C. in Alexandria. Mm-hmm. I was born in 54, and I left the area in early 82 and lived like 20 years all over the Midwest. And then I came out.
You're just a kid.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I came out here in the summer of, I guess it was 2000. It was the summer of 2000.
I was born in 51. I'll be 68 next month.
Yeah, yeah. I knew you were just a tiny bit older than I am. Well, I just turned 65 this year. I have to pinch myself even now because I don't believe I'm at this point of life.
Well, I don't believe I'm 68 years old. It all went by so fast.
Yeah, I know. Tell me about it.
Yeah, this is Gary in Illinois.
Hey, Gary.
Yeah, I was. I'm 66 now. But I was in the Air Force. I worked on Hound Dog missiles. It was our first air launched cruise missile off of a B-52. So I can understand. I went to school at Chanute down here at Rantoul.
I went to Chanute too.
Yeah. I was way down on the southern end of A Street, all the way down to the end.
Well, I don't remember about the streets and everything.
I'm only 50 miles away now, so.
All I know
Sparky.
It's going to the Thousand Mound Chow Hall and then marching to school in the snow.
Well, yeah, I mean, I had, yeah, if you were the SR-71, you like me, had 9 months of school.
Where were you, Sparky, between 75 and 77? What were you doing in that era?
I was majoring in the GI Bill, going to Shasta College and bartending. And then in 1977, I started my career as an electrician.
Did you ever get a call, a telemarketer from the Air Force Times newspaper to try to get you to subscribe? Because I used to work for that outfit for a couple of years doing telemarketing. And all these air bases that you guys are referencing, that's all we would do. Every night from 5 till midnight, we would start on the East Coast and call on Watts lines to military and federal people trying to get them to subscribe to these various papers from office in D.C.
I got out of the Air Force in August of 1974.
Oh, sure. The Air Force Times will keep you abreast of retirement benefits.
Well, I was retiring. I was at first tumor. 4 years and out deal. I got discharged at port, which my port was after my knee surgery. I got discharged at Travis Air Force Base. But I was sitting in the convalescent ward at Travis when Nixon got on the helicopter and flew off.
Oh,
August.
I'll never forget that day.
And I didn't get my honorable discharge for 2 years later. And I was working in a bar in Reading going to school. And my dad come up, made a special trip all the way from Red Bluff to come up to Reading and present me with my honorable discharge in the bar where I was working. He said, "It's finally official, son," and hand me an envelope.
What took him 2 years? I mean, that's pretty much a no-brainer, isn't it? I mean, that
no, okay, no, yeah.
No, you have a 6-year commitment. You can
because your active duty discharge is when you got out, and then your final discharge is after you get your 6-year commitment.
Yeah. They give you a DD-214 when they let you go. Mm-hmm. And then they give you the honorable discharge 2 years later.
Hey, let me turn our conversation back into the gutter for just a minute here. Because I just got reminded of something. Jude just wrote in from the Great Northwest talking about the Ivanka wardrobe malfunction. Because that's what
that wasn't a malfunction.
Well, that's what we call it when Janet Jackson does it. Something malfunctioned, but I had neglected to mention this part, and I'm glad Jude reminded me of it. She showed up at the UN looking like that to attend a religious freedom conference.
Oh God!
As Jude points out, you can't make this stuff up.
I've got a new nickname for her.
What happened? I don't even know what happened.
Oh, she showed up in this skin-tight, tailored French blue blouse with her nipples on bold display.
Yeah, they're calling her Ivanka Bullets Trump.
Yeah, they were highly erect.
I just
taking perky to a new level.
Ivana Trump. Wait, Ivanka?
Ivanka.
What the fuck's of? Yeah, AKA Mary Magdalene. She was just playing, going in Mary Magdalene costume. That's all.
Hooker. Oh, you're. Wait. No. Now, wait a minute. Okay, this is. Okay, we're going to have to address this. There's nothing in the Gospels that suggests that Mary Magdalene was a hooker. That was made up by the church, Steve.
I know. I get it. I get it, but that's tradition.
Well,
going to a spiritual values conference.
No, that was that. No, it was a religious freedom conference at the UN.
At the UN,
that's what they had, so that Trump wouldn't have to sit through being dressed down by Greta Thunberg.
That was his pretext for being there.
That was his pretext for not going. They showed up for about 10 seconds at the climate forum and then got up and walked out indignantly. But, yeah, they had a religious freedom conference, and that came up in his speech today, too.
Jesus.
But no, Steve, what I was going to tell you, you know the... The story from the unexpurgated copy of the Gospel of Mark, the woman taken in adultery. All the townsfolk are there and they're gathering rocks and they're going to stone her to death, and Jesus gets down and scribbles in the dirt for a minute. We don't know what he was. It could have been tic-tac-toe or whatever. We don't know, but he stood up. And he looked at the crowd, and he looked at the woman taken in adultery. And he said, "Let that person who is without sin cast the first stone." And all of a sudden, from the back of the crowd, a rock comes flying up and cronks Jesus right in the noggin. And, and like, the blood starts running down his forehead. Because, you know, a forehead cut, you know, they bleed bad. Starts it, mm-hmm. and he looks around the crowd through his one good eye that's not bloodied up, and he looks at me, and then he goes, "Honestly, Mom, sometimes you really piss me off."
Yep. Yeah, I actually knew that.
Yeah.
That's a uniquely Catholic joke.
Well, yeah, it is. I've got a couple of them because I had some dear friends who were uniquely Catholic.
By the way, did you see where Tulsi Gabbard said that we shouldn't impeach because it's going to be too divisive?
Yeah, she needs to fuck right the fuckity fuck off.
Yeah, well,
but remember, she's a darling of the so-called.
Hey, buddy.
She's a darling of the Purity Patrol left.
Bob?
Yeah, Scott.
Do you have time for a quick TV viewing tip?
I do, but before you do, I have to tell you, I have a note for you.
Okay.
Courtesy of Mike in Cascadia, who said, I took Scott's advice and listened to the Sterling Hayden interviews with Tom Snyder. Great recommendation. What a conversation. Thank you, Scott. I passed Scott's recommendation on to my buddies, and they gave the thumbs up also. Thanks.
Great.
Yes?
Is that your dog barking, Bob?
No dog here.
I muted people by accident because I was trying to...
Okay. Yeah, because Scott started, and then I had no more Scott.
Yeah. Only problem is I can't unmute him.
How about that?
Much better.
Jeff Bridges was on with Charlie Rose a couple of years ago to talk about this movie that I just watched the other night, Bad Times at the El Royale. And you can find it, I think, on Amazon or HBO Go, if you have either of those. If you liked Pulp Fiction, you will probably like this film, Bad Times at the El Royale. It tripped all of my triggers because I liked Pulp Fiction. It's not quite as gory, I don't think, but the twists and turns and the flashbacks and the flash forwards were really great. And it was a pretty good story to boot. So anyone with access to Amazon Prime or HBO Go, check that out. It's a good little movie.
Yeah, well,
a new trailer for El Camino came out.
Oh yeah, I saw that where Jesse's in the car out in the middle of the desert. That's the one I saw anyway.
Just like your opinion, man.
These fucking squirrels are inhaling these nuts. I put a half a dozen out here. Come on.
Fucking squirrels inhaling nuts. Interesting.
Well, they must put them in their little pouches in their cheeks, and or go bury them. But they, I don't know. I put more of them out. That's all you
nuts
get.
Nuts in cheeks. That sounds like a fraternity hazing ritual.
Ooh.
Oh, by the way, Rudy. Giuliani could not stay silent about all of this. So today he said via Twitter, Dems have no basis for impeachment. They should be investigated for obstructing justice. Their whistleblower may in fact turn out to have no direct evidence. The story is so far off it sounds like another Dem media frame-up. Only crimes of Biden carry pay for play. Thank you.
Shut the fuck up.
Well, the best part was one of the responses was just precious. Rudy, you're going to prison, and you fucked your cousin for 14 years. That's fucking gross, dude.
That's frameable. That's something you put that on a pillow.
Yeah, along with the little chocolate. Right, yeah.
Yeah.
And I had a note for...
Where's my needlepoint kit?
Yeah, cross stitch. And I got a cowbell for Lee in New York. And that is for this. Religious Freedom Conference. What's wrong with that, Bob? Ivanka was just expressing her freedom. It's a deep-held belief. Almost an expression of faith. A double expression of faith. Yeah.
I'll bet her daddy requested it.
Oh, I'll bet her daddy's got it in his spank bank.
Oh, Bob.
Spank bank? Gee, there I went, haven't heard that, ex-
yeah. that there expression went, in a while. There went breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Well, if you really want to see things go away in all time zones, if you think the bags under Trump's eyes are brilliant,
oh, no.
Look at his butt, if you dare.
Okay, and with that...
You know, it's 5 minutes till the end of the program. I think we're just going to cut this one short.
Oh, no. Don't tell me I killed the program. Jesus, I didn't mean to do that.
No, it was already on life support. You just put it out of its misery.
Oh by the way, and there he is. There he is. The bar to prosecution has spoken. David in South Carolina, Stan, just shared this with me. Carolee over at Crooks and Liars reporting. Bill Barr decided the whistleblower complaint wasn't urgent, and they are therefore not obligated to turn it over, even though the IG determined it was urgent and credible.
And the law says they have to anyway.
Right. It's not... It is mandatory language. It's shall, not may.
There is no end to their abuse of our system. Put that on a pillow.
If they don't arrest that DNA, if he shows up, there's something wrong.
Well, it calls to mind one of my favorite quotes from Latin. And it comes from Cicero, from his De Catilina oration. And it, let me get it here. He stood up in the Senate and he, where is it? Everybody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to give me the quote. He says, when, O Catiline, do you mean to cease abusing our patience? How long is that madness of yours still to mock us? When is there to be an end of that unbridled audacity of yours swaggering about as it does now? How long will you continue to abuse our patience? And in Latin, it sounds even better. Quo usque tandem abudere Catilina patientia nostra. And of course, those who know about the Catiline conspiracy know how it played out. But it's so true. How long will they abuse our? How long will these crooks, these petty grifters, these grafters, these perverts continue to abuse us, and how long will we let them?
Bob, CNN is reporting that the White House is going to release the whistleblower complaint.
I saw that from New York Times too, but I'm not sure. I think it's misdirection. Remember how he was also going to sign off on background checks?
True. But, you know, there's a thing on here also. It says McConnell says the Senate will look into the I'm telling you, and I don't know, man. This Ukraine thing seems to have finally spooked McConnell, et cetera. And maybe I'm just reading too much into this, but that's what it looks like to me. Is that your take on it?
Well, yeah, there is certain suspicions that must be aroused when they start to appear suddenly being too, quote, helpful.
Yeah.
Is that, yeah.
That's exactly what's, it's like, this is the guy. These are the people who, or he's the person who revels in being, what did he call himself? The Grim Reaper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm, again, reading too much into it, but all of a sudden there's some cooperativeness that I'm very skeptical of.
Well, see, that makes me wonder additionally what they're up to in terms of maybe throwing something out there that would get the Democrats to react only to spring a trap, you know? Because this is how these fuckers operate. They have all along.
Yep.
For decades.
What if
it's what they do? It's who they are. It's even more than their actions. It's inherent in their natures to be.
Well,
that.
I'm liable to be accused of playing 11D-dimensional chess. But what if, as James pointed out earlier in the evening in an email, what if Nancy's had a matrix of this all along, and she's just been sitting there drawing one line from one cell to the next until it gets over to, you know, here?
Oh, she's got a big wall with a chart on it, and she's drawing string lines between everybody.
Yeah, what if...
And Lord knows she's been around long enough and knows the game well enough.
What if she knows... What if she, in her position of power, knows shit that the multimillionaires and the for-profit media don't know?
And not only don't know, but don't know that she knows.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, she did say that she sat on the that committee, the intelligence committee.
Yeah.
She was one of the four. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, the gang of four. Yeah. And by the way, taking the program back into the gutter before we go out, Ron and Raleigh. In regard to Ivanka, said, brings to mind that old Bob Seger lyric, points all her own, standing way up high, way up firm and high. Ron says, I'll bet those religious freaks saw God. Meanwhile, meanwhile, a bit of an admonishment. Now, Bob, be kind to Ivanka, says Lady B. She might be looking for her next husband. I have a feeling that regardless of what happens, the Trumps are too stupid to hold onto their fortune for long. Ivanka got it from her mama. Rent ain't gonna pay itself. She's using what she's got to get what she wants. She'll never sleep on discounted sheets. But you didn't hear that from me. Yours in cattiness, Lady B. And so with
what, she's not gonna go to jail?
No. No, I don't think so. She'll find a way.
Can I say one last thing?
Yes,
this
you may.
Make you sick.
Oh, great.
I didn't look at the article, but there's looks like an opinion piece from John Yoo saying, beware of impeaching Trump. It could hurt the presidency, from the man who wrote the torture memos.
Oh, geez.
He's somebody else I just want to slap in the face.
They'll be crawling out of the woodwork.
Oh, this is gonna be bedlam for a few days. It may be. Hey, I'm the one that said it the other night. It may be bedlam all the way to November. January 20th, 2021. However weird it was yesterday, it's gonna be weirder tomorrow.
And the day after that.
So we all just strap in. And channel our inner Hunter Thompson and say, when the going gets weird, the weird turn pro.
Well, you buy the ticket and you take the ride. I mean,
yeah.
Isn't that also a Hunter Thompson observation?
Among others. He also said the hogs are in the tunnel and they will travel on a road of bones.
There you go.
So, thanks, Sparky, for jumping in to moderate a front porch at the last minute. I thought this kind of deserved more than me just filibobstering.
Thank you.
I was getting prepared with the news of the days. I figured he might want to go there.
He did. Thanks, Sparky. Thanks, everybody, for a great conversation. Y'all have a good evening. And thanks to all of you who keep the program on the air. Thanks to all of you who participate in the conversation, however you so choose, and share your precious finite time with us. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. And hey, new Dr. Bill podcast today. Make sure you get it. Later, y'all.